Thank you for coming out on a sunny Sunday. And yesterday we were talking about the five faculties, and we'd explored faith and mindfulness and wise effort or energy. And so this morning I'm going to talk a little about concentration or samadhi. And the Buddha always said, "Develop concentration, O practitioners. One who is concentrated sees things as they really are." And sometimes we think of concentration as really like being forceful. Concentrate. Why can't you concentrate? And the word is actually samadhi. And it comes from words sam and di, which are gathering in and holding together. So it's gathering all the dispersed forces of the mind and heart and body and into a whole. So it's collecting out of distraction and into presence. So it's a little different than this kind of forceful thing. It's really gathering ourselves back into presence out of being split off and separate. So creating a wholeness. And also we can understand it as stability, really being able to be with things and not so easily knocked off center. So sometimes it's one of the pillars of the bridge that crosses from the shore of confusion to the shore of clarity. It sort of sinks down into the water and holds us stable. And we develop this stability not through struggling or straining or trying to get somewhere, but really by relaxing and letting go of anxieties about the future and confusion and distress about the past, or even planning in the present. We sort of let go of those things and settle here. So concentration practice is really a practice of letting go, of over and over again letting go of distraction, relaxing into the present moment, not being pulled by the past and the future. So it's collecting in and unifying and being able to see more clearly because we've collected in and unified. And once the mind is unified, things begin to separate out. We start to see more clearly. And you'll find that as you're practicing. So we're stabilizing the mind by letting go over and over and developing one-pointedness. Perhaps on a fixed object like the breath. We could use the breath, or some of you sound, some people a mantra, some of you use loving kindness practice. It doesn't matter. But on one object, and you release everything else, and the mind gets trained to be able to let go. So some of you have done a body scan, for example. How many people here have done a body scan? Yeah, quite a few of you. So when you're doing a body scan, you're traveling down the body. And as you pass through the chest, you let go of the head. As you pass down the rest of the body, you keep letting go. And you learn to be able to put your attention wherever you want to, because you know how to let go. And another way of concentrating the mind is the flow of one object after another. So rather than just being the breath, we're fully present with thoughts, with sounds, with whatever it is. And that's called momentary concentration. And so this morning we'll do one-pointed and then we'll do momentary, just so you get a chance to see which one is easiest for you. So and what supports it is continuity of mindfulness and balanced effort, which was why we practiced with balanced effort yesterday. So when those two are balanced, mindfulness and effort, then concentration naturally arises. And that leads to stability until the stability is effortless. Both are effortless. We're able to rest where we are, and we're not needing to put too much energy in to do it. It just happens all by itself. And some of you have had that experience in practice, where you just rest at peace, ease. The important things about the concentration in Buddhist practice is that it's always wholesome. And by that I mean we can concentrate on anything. You can concentrate really hard on some kind of computer program that's ripping people off. Or you can get lost in focusing on, you know, anything. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily skillful. And so here, in this practice, it's always wholesome because it's free from hindrances. As we get more connected with the breath, with the body, we're letting go of desire and aversion and confusion. And so for that reason, it's always wholesome. And it leads to powerful levels of one-pointedness, of being here. And it can be, I'm saying one-pointedness, but it's not necessarily just one-pointedness here. It can be the one point that includes the whole, so that you can be completely still and knowing, and nothing is left out. And that's, so it's not that it's, you're just focusing on minutia. You can use concentration for that, and in life it's not so useful. Because you want to be aware of the whole. You don't want to say, don't talk to me right now, I'm watching my breath. You know, you want to include everything. And so that's what we're moving towards. And also, it incorporates mindfulness and investigation so that we develop wisdom and insight, so that the whole purpose of it is to see clearly. It's not just that the purpose of it is to get into some beautiful altered state, which can happen, but that's not exactly why we're doing it. So when we do it in this way, we're developing stability, energy, confidence, and we're starting to see clearly what we can do in the world to live our lives in a way that benefit us. And as the sutta says, we're refreshed, steadied, and blessed, because it brings a lot of joy as well. And as we're incorporating it into our lives, which we hope that you will, it helps us simplify in our lives. And we're able to be alert and present in our lives, when we can collect our attention in. So they're here, present, awake, ready. And when we can turn our mind to anything with this kind of intimacy, we can see it more clearly because we're so present for it. And the other thing we see is we see how everything changes. So we're able to be fresh in every moment. And so that's daily life things, as well as practicing on the cushion. So I'll just talk a little bit about how we practice first, and because to begin with, we're training in, samadhi is training with intimacy with the breath. Later we become intimate with whatever we turn our attention to, but to begin with, I'll be talking about the breath. Some of you may want to choose sound, if that's what you usually do, or the whole body, if that's what you usually do, and that's fine. But what we do is we connect with the felt sense of the breath, like we were doing yesterday. So this is, this, the word is vataka. Some of you are familiar with that. connecting. And we're not connecting, we're connecting so that we just connect. See what I mean? It's not going out there to get the breath, but it's receptive and receiving the breath so you can be relaxed and gently connect. And then the next piece is sustaining the connection. And that's this almost vichara, that's called. And that's like I connect with the ball and then I feel it. It's cool. It's smooth. I get to know it. I become intimate with it, fascinated with it. I really know what it feels like. So that's what you're doing with the breath. You're becoming familiar. And so as I do that, it starts to feel pleasant. And it changes. Now it's starting to get warmer. You know, so as you get intimate with it, you begin to understand how it changes. And then there are, as again, as I was saying yesterday, there are different, as we pay attention, we see that we can be partially with the thing, or completely and fully. Those are the two ends. I'm sorry, we can be not with it at all, or fully with it, and then partially. And as we were saying yesterday, you could be aware of your breath. You might even be going in, out, or rising, falling, and you're thinking up a storm. You're not actually there. Or you can completely be with the breath, so that you've let go of everything else and you're really intimate with all the movements of the breath and it ending. So that's partial or complete. And then there's intermittent and continuous. And so we're moving towards full and continuous, but we're noticing when it's those places in between. And not being upset by them, just being aware. So let's do some practice.